You can see it in a boy by the time he's five, Bruce thought, as he watched another season of fathers make their way across the sports fields with another season of sons. The men, still tired or hungover from the end of another working week, shielded themselves from the light rain and everything from faded old windbreakers to expensive wool-lined coats, while their boys trotted along beside them like knock-kneed foals in their team jerseys, shorts and collapsed socks. One by one, each of the fathers greeted the coach, a man who looked just as world-weary as them, and handed over their sons before joining the small congregation of parents behind the sideline a few yards away. The boys were lined up and instructed to run to the other side of the field while passing the ball along the line. They carried out their instructions with a kind of uncoordinated enthusiasm reserved for the very young, every one of them blissfully unaware of the passage that lay ahead, a passage all the men looking on had once undertaken in front of their own fathers. Under the trees, beside the changing sheds, another team of boys had formed a circle around an overweight man and were following his poor example of high knee lifts. The two teams made their way to the pitch and assembled on either side of the halfway line before taking the field. A short, shrill whistle pierced the air and the examination began. Bruce took up his usual spot behind the goalposts as the two teams ran up and down the pitch in a loose gaggle. The mothers shouted encouragement while the fathers barked instructions from behind the white line painted atop the lush wet grass. Already he could see the boys who froze as the chaos veered toward them. Sometimes it swept past them, other times it ran straight into them and left them picking themselves up off the ground, wide-eyed with shock. Many of these boys would keep up the charade for years, making up the numbers, hiding in the pack while trying to impress their fathers or fit in with their friends. But by their teens, they would silently drop away one by one as the body of the boy warriors grew thick and raw-boned and the tackles were delivered with ever-increasing weight and menace. Some who were callow at first would improve a great deal, but not enough to go anywhere in the game. There were too many other boys born with courage and spades, boys who'd hone their skills and harden themselves across countless Saturdays, who'd grow blind to the chaos and deaf to the slap of skin and dull clunk of bones colliding at high speed. Theirs were the only names and numbers that men like Bruce would jot down in their notebooks. By the time the game was over, each son would give his father the answer he required without a word being uttered. For the boy who threw himself in the fray, his father's nod or affectionate scruff of the hair was the reward. For the boy who hesitated, or worse, shied away, it all depended on the man. Some drew their son in with an arm around the shoulder and a few kind words of encouragement. Others turned and headed back towards the car park, putting a small distance between themselves. Near the end of the club season, Bruce would contact the parents of the teenagers concerned and inform them of their son's selection in the representative team. Gushing mothers and proud as punch fathers would thank him sincerely before they rushed to bring their son to the phone. It often seemed that the boy himself was the least bothered member of his entire family, but despite the teenage air of indifference, Bruce could still feel the young man's delight radiating down the line. The team would assemble and spend a couple of weeks training for tournaments in which they would clash with boys from other regions of the country who were just as quick and courageous. But even during these tournament days, when the rugby grounds fairly brimmed with reckless doppelgangers, a few boys would separate themselves from the pack with a physicality and guile that made them seem beyond their teenage years. Sometimes, just once in a while, two of these rare breeds travelling in opposing directions would meet. They would start the game charging like roaring stags, hell-bent on making the other step away first, but it seemed as if each was only lifted by the other's aggression. As the game wore on, spectators became enthralled as they bore witness to the struggle unfolding. Even other team members became bit players in the two-man war. There was a moment, usually deep into the 80 minutes of the match, that Bruce waited for. When the boys had run and tackled themselves to a standstill, the instant when the test slid from the physical to the mental, and the question became, who would be willing to endure the battle the longest? This was the point where one boy would show the other that it was useless, that he might as well give in, because he would always drag himself off the ground and charge again, He would never let himself be bested, regardless of the scoreboard. This was the boy Bruce looked for.